So good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Boy, we are missing some fathers on Father's Day this year. Yeah, I know that Mark and Melissa are still out west, and that means I have to introduce myself. So, hey, everybody, here I am. No, just kidding. Yeah, welcome, Tim. Hey, welcome, Tim. So, yeah, we've got a bunch of people that are doing Father's Day things, but that's okay. That's okay. They'll catch up with us. How many of you miss Mark and Melissa? Okay, maybe they're watching this and they'll see that and they'll be like, oh, they missed us. Or maybe they're, you know, on the beach at Lake Tahoe. I don't know. Is there beaches at Lake Tahoe? Are there? I've never been. Never been to Lake Tahoe, but they've got family there, so that's cool. Anyway, we're glad you're all here. We're glad those of you who have joined us by streaming are joining us, or those of you who catch this later and you see it and you're like, oh, that was nice. And forgive the lack of being fully turned on here. I've got too many battery packs and things on my body, so I can't keep track of it all. And maybe it's a good metaphor, you know, the mic was not hot, because today I want to talk to you about keeping it hot. So if you will, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. And I want to talk to you today about keeping it hot, specifically to the dads about keeping it hot. But this is one of those messages that works for everybody. You know, that's how it goes. We all need to keep it hot. So Revelation chapter 3 and verses 15 through 17. Are you there? Good, good. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Oh, isn't that a pretty picture that just creates it? Some of the versions say spew, and others say spit. This one says, yeah. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow, let's just start out with a really encouraging scripture today. How about that? How many of you feel like, wow, we could just stop right there and you'd all be going home feeling good? Yeah, I am miserable and wretched. You know, what's funny about this is this is an interesting verse that I'm going to use to help us to remember to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. So, you know, I say that a lot. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Look at somebody next to you or around you someplace and say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Okay, a couple of you did that. And then say, look at them and say, you probably really need this of all people I know. That's telling. I want to share some signs today. And they are warning signs. Did any of you see any warning signs on your way here? Anybody see a warning sign? What kind of warning sign? Stop. Well, that's not a warning sign. That's kind of like railroad crossing. Yeah, there's the curve ahead. When you see Lisa Davis coming, it should be a sign to you. Run. yeah, there's all sorts of signs out there, curves and things like that, you know. Speed, reduce speed ahead. Children, you know, what's that? Children playing, yeah, things like that. There are all sorts of signs that try to get our attention to try to warn us. And I'm glad that you recognize that there are signs out there, because there are a lot of signs that. But how many of you know we kind of, anybody besides me, you're going, like the signs on the road, you're going down the road and I know about that, whatever, you know, just kind of get used to it. You don't think about it anymore. In fact, sometimes I remember being a young person. I'm still very young, but I'm not quite this young and stupid anymore. There was a curve near my home in Sugar Grove that was an S curve. And I remember taking my Toyota Corona. They used to make one called a Corona. It was a two-speed transmission. Yeah, a little four-banger. And I would try to go through those curves as fast as I could. I got to figuring out where the, you know, and I never went off the road, thank goodness, but I sure scared a few of my friends. They were like, are you nuts? Yeah, I am. This is fun, you know. There were warning signs. Don't do what I was doing. And I was like, yes, I'm going to. Sometimes we have that kind of attitude. One of the things that you guys probably saw this morning and didn't even notice, but because it went by real quick, was you have idiot lights in your car. How many of you have heard them called that? The little warning lights, idiot lights. Yeah. And why are they called idiot lights? Because we probably didn't notice that sound of our engine seizing up until it actually did. So lights come on, check engine light, things like that. You know, so how many of you know people who they have idiot lights? The lights are on. They're no longer just like in the morning when I turn my car on. I'm sure yours is the same. All my cars have been this way. The idiot lights pop up for a second and then they go off. And I see them, but I don't think about them because they're going off. But if one stays on, oh, I have to do something. And if you're a smart person, you will do something. I mean, you don't want to, if it's on for a long time, it could be a bad thing. I remember borrowing a car once from a gentleman in the church in Bicknell, Indiana. And he told me, he says, yeah, that check engine light's on all the time. Don't worry about it. And I'm thinking, Well, I checked into it and it can be fixed, but it's not anything you have to worry about. And I forget what he said it was, and it probably wasn't anything super important, but it didn't make me feel good while I was going down the road with this bright yellow light on check engine. It kind of felt weird. And we all know people who ignore those kind of things. They don't ignore warnings. So why do these lights exist? Why do these signs exist? They're there to warn us because they're trying to keep us from having a bad experience. Right? I mean, isn't that why we have the warning signs? They're there to keep people from experiencing something that wouldn't be pleasant. That curve in road sign. They're trying to keep you from coming up on it too quick, apparently because other people have come up on it too quick. There are roads like that down in southern Ohio. I know there's some here, but there are less of them here. This is a wonderful part of the world to live in because all the roads go that way and that way. They do. Not everywhere, down by the river sometimes, but everywhere in the hills, the roads go that way, and then they're going that way, and over there. And sometimes you come up over a hill only to find that there's a 90-degree turn. You're like flying over the hill, and I've got to turn. It just doesn't happen. And you end up in a field or a tree. So, yeah, it's important to have warning signs because, well, they keep us from having a worse experience than we want to have. It's been said by some people that the commands of God are not just good ideas. They're not just good ideas. They're commands. You better listen to them, you people. The commands of God are not just good ideas. Here's the thing. When you say it that way, it's almost like, you're almost trying to encourage people to rebel. It's like, I'll show you. But, the commands of God aren't just good ideas, but you know what they are? They're really good ideas. When God says you ought to do something this way, it's not because he's trying to ruin your fun. We've talked about this, but he's not trying to mess up your life. It's not that they're, you have to follow the commands. That's not the point. The point is God is trying to tell you, hey, this will work better for you. That's good. I like it when things work better because I don't like ending up in the field or in the ditch or in the tree or down in the hill, sometimes in the rock. We had a guy, he worked for his dad in a garage. And before he even was 16 years old, he already had a Firebird. It was really pretty. It was green. It was a few years old. He already had it. And the second he turned 16, he bought another. Yeah, he was making money working for his dad. He had $5,000 to go out and drop on a brand new Trans Am within a few weeks of turning 16. He drove the green one for a little while. I was like, this one's not sporty enough. So, just a few weeks, I don't remember how long it was, he's out and he's got a brand new red Firebird Trans Am that he promptly put into the side of a mountain where there was a big rock. I mean, he mashed it right into the rock. I'm thinking. And then he was driving the green one. Because I'm surprised he was still allowed to drive, but that was another time, wasn't it? So God has good ideas for us, and this verse is one of those verses where I think there is, if you will, an idiot light or warning sign when we read this verse that I just read to you. And it's a warning sign about not becoming lukewarm. That's kind of cool. God's trying to keep us from becoming lukewarm. And he's not doing that because he doesn't like lukewarm. He made that clear. But he's doing that for our benefit, as if God really has, you know, a problem dealing with lukewarm people. He doesn't. So what's the indicator? What do I need to see in order to avoid becoming lukewarm? Verse 17 again, it says, "Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Wow. First of all, do you realize that this was written to a church? Well, that church was wretched, blind, poor, naked, whatever. That church was like that. Our church isn't like that. Well, it wasn't written to just that church, though. God saved it for all of the churches to be able to read throughout history. And throughout history, we've been reading this. I know that in church a lot these days, and I'm not saying that it's wrong, it's just that I want to make sure we keep a little bit of an awareness of some realistic balance. In church these days, we like to talk about how we're more than conquerors. I'm blessed, you know. I'm a child of God. He calls me friend. We like to talk about all the good stuff that we are, and I think that's important. There was a time when it was just the opposite. How many of you can barely remember when I was a kid? I remember it was pretty prevalent. It was really prevalent for preachers to tell you how crummy you were. You vile sinner, evil people, you. Well, I don't like that either. I want to build you up and I want to do all that stuff. I want to encourage you that God sees you and he wants to do great things in you. And all that's an important message. That being said, outside of his amazing grace, outside of the grace that is on me that makes me righteous, I'm not my righteousness is as filthy rags, his righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ in me that qualifies me to be all the wonderful things that we like to talk about that we are and that we need to be and that God calls us. And I want, don't lose that. Don't lose that. But don't forget that outside of his amazing grace, we are wretched. We are miserable. We are poor. And blind and naked and just don't know it. See, when we don't recognize our need for the more of God, we become comfortable. And when we become comfortable, we become lukewarm. And so there's a warning sign here. What's he saying? Don't get comfortable. Don't let yourself get so comfy and relaxed and everything's just so nice that you start to lose out and you start to become lukewarm and you aren't on fire for God anymore. You aren't what he wants you to be, not just for his sake, not just for the kingdom's sake, not just for heaven's sake, but for your sake. Because when I'm fired up, when you're fired up, when we are fired up for God, we have better lives. And I believe God wants to give us better lives. I really do believe God wants us to have a good life. I'm not saying God never wants you to have any of the comforts of life. I think everybody deserves a good recliner. I like recliners. There are some things that, you know, we're trying to make a house comfortable right now. Trying to. And we're having to move a lot faster than we want to move now. I mean, that I've been trying to get things done, and now I'm like, oh, I'm so far behind. I got a lot to do because we got a deadline now because we're living in somebody else's house. And I keep telling Pete, I had the grandkids over to try to destroy your house, and we're not keeping track of the dog. She's just peeing all over the floor. We're just, it's your house. We don't care. So, you know, we want to make our home comfortable. I want my home to be comfortable for my wife. I really do. And I think God wants us to have some good things. 1 John 5:3 tells us that God's commands are not burdensome. God's not trying to weigh you down. God's not trying to oppress you or make you feel oppressed. Remember, he said, my burden is light. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I believe God wants to bless our lives, but he doesn't want us to get so comfy in this world that we're not looking to stay focused on why we're really here in this world. Let's look at another idiot light that I found in the scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 22. You have heard it said, you've heard that it was said to the to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. I've heard a lot of people talk about this verse and maybe a couple to follow here that I'm going to mention. And they talk about how it shows us that God, that Jesus was upping the ante for what we should do. You know, he was not only saying you shouldn't murder, he was saying you shouldn't even allow yourself to have bad thoughts toward people. You know, you need to take this up to another level. And while that's true, and I've preached it many times, there's a little something more to this that I see as a warning light, because he's not just upping the ante. The vast majority of murders have to do with the fact that people allow themselves to get angry. They allow stuff to stew and fester. Sometimes what's festering and stewing isn't even stewing and festering toward the person they ultimately kill. But you know, that person just happens along, says something stupid at the wrong time, and they're already so full of anger, bitterness, hatred, and everything else. And they act out. And so the point of what Jesus is saying is, if you start with this simmering and this anger and this negativity towards someone especially, you can get to the point where it builds up and builds up and builds up, and then it builds up and then it comes out all at once. There's a warning light. Don't let yourself get that way. You got to get past that stuff. You got to get beyond it. I got to get beyond it. And by the way, I teach this. I've been teaching it for years. It's in my book. I believe that almost all anger, not all, but almost all anger is fear-based. And if you check what it is that's scaring you, you will realize that you're being angry because you were scared of something. What day was it this week? I don't know. One of the days this week, I was in a hurry. I've told you I do this. Nobody in the car with me, only the Lord, but I'm going to confess. Because I'm at a corner, and the person in front of me has an opportunity. I was at Dairy Queen, I remember now. There was just traffic going both directions. And I was trying to get out of Dairy Queen, because I was in a hurry. And the person's sitting there, and there's an opportunity to go out. Oh, yeah, yeah, go. You didn't make it. Okay, here's another one. Go, 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 go. Ah, what's wrong with you? That's when I just floored it and crammed right into the back of their car. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. How many of you know people have done that, though? People look at it and say, just put it in gear and slam into them. I'm so mad. If you don't see the warning signs, these things can happen, can't they? We can. And so I have to, wait a minute. Just get out. Stop it already. You don't have to be there that quick. Who cares if you're late? And the fact of the matter is, no one would have. And as it turns out, I wasn't. It's not the big, we just make a big deal out of stuff sometimes. And so what was my fear? I think I was a little bit afraid that I'd be late and people would be like, where you been? Was that fear of man? I guess. Silly. Just because I wrote a book on fear doesn't mean that fear doesn't try to get after me. Right? Right. And we all have these little dumb fears. I would say most of what we struggle with in life is because of some little dumb fear. And then we get frustrated and then we get angry. So I have to check myself before I wreck myself. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28. You have heard it said of those of old, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You know, most people, I don't think, while they're growing up, most people don't plan, like it's not on their agenda to commit adultery someday. I saw Dakota today, and I saw that Dakota is, driving now. It was on his list of things. He's got his license. And I'd seen that on Facebook, a month or so ago? Whatever it's been. A couple weeks? Okay. I'm not on Facebook much anymore. Sorry, people. I'm too busy laying floor and painting. But anyway, I saw that he got his license, and I told him congratulations this morning. And Dakota's got some stuff now ahead of him in his life. He's hit a milestone, hasn't he? He's got a driver's license. Now he'd like to graduate. Be a good idea, by the way, because if you don't, that woman right there, she's not, that guy right there, they're not going to be happy with you. You got to do that. You got to graduate and probably go to college, probably on your list, maybe. Whatever. And then someday, probably, most of us, when we're his age, we're like thinking marriage someday, right? That's the plan. Got to find that right person, get married. It's going to be great. Then maybe have some kids. That's on the list. And then, we've all got that thing on our list where at some point I'm going to have a midlife crisis and have adultery. Nobody does that, right? Okay, good. I'm glad nobody in this room did that. But I don't know. Maybe somebody did do that. I never was something that I ever thought of. When good people ignore warning signs, bad things happen. And so good people can have this experience where they start, seeing this other person and kind of having thoughts about this other person, and things start happening. And the next thing you know, I can't tell you how many times I've known people who made that mistake, and I feel angry at them in some ways sometimes, but I also feel really bad for them because I'm pretty sure at 16 they weren't going, I got my driver's license, let me see. Maybe we can accelerate this thing. I'll get married really early and then a week later. No, that's not how our brains work. We're not trying to get ourselves in trouble, but all of us know somebody who's gotten themselves in some really deep trouble because they didn't see the warning signs. And bad things happen. So going on in Matthew here, chapter 5, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Wow. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. It's not just the things that God tells us not to do that are important. It's also the things God tells us to do that are important. And when we see ourselves doing the things that God has told us to do, not just not doing the things he's not told us to do, but doing the things he's told us to do, when we find ourselves doing those things, that helps us keep things heated up. It helps us keep from getting lukewarm. There are things that we can do that will fire us up, that will help us stay hot for God. Have you had any of those extra mile experiences lately? Where someone asks you to do something and you're like, I don't even want to do that. I'll do that, but don't ask me for anything else. Yeah, see, I'll do that, but don't ask me for anything else is not the way to get hot. I don't like being taken advantage of. Nobody does. Nobody does. But you do realize that, and I've done this many times, Jesus has had a ministry of being taken advantage. And it looked like this. And all of us take advantage of that, and we should take advantage of that every day. And so when you're being taken advantage of, you're bearing the cross. Dang it. Now, listen, I'm not saying that there aren't times when you have to exercise boundaries with people. There are. But do so for their good. Do so for their good. And then when you do that, again, you're taking action that will help keep you in the right place, keep you in the zone, keep you hot, keep you where you belong. This passage goes on to say, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. That's my favorite thing. I just love doing good to those who hate me. Y'all have anybody who hates you? Yeah. Me too. I have some people who hate me, and I was trying to do them good, and they hate me all the more for it. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I do that. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. When we do these things, and they're not easy, but when we do these things, and they rub us the wrong way, and it creates friction, but when we do these things, that friction has the potential to ignite a fire. And that's how we can get fired up. When we do these things, we become sons and daughters of God. We are recognized by God as his sons and daughters. Acting the way the son was will help us to become a son. And that, by the way, is a reward in and of itself. Just knowing that he loves you and that you're doing what he would want you to do is rewarding in and of itself. Whether anybody else ever recognizes it, whether it creates any other opportunity or benefit for you, just knowing that you did what he would have done is a reward of itself. And the last verse, 48, talks about becoming perfect. The Greek word here for perfect isn't that picture that we have in America today of picture perfect, you know, flawless. It's not that. It's mature. It's just a matter of being fully grown. God is not just giving us a bunch of rules so he can see whether or not we'll follow them. Everything we do is, I don't believe, intended to be another test, another hurdle for us to cross over. I don't believe right living is about making it through a moral obstacle course. I believe he's given us direction that will help us to make our lives better. Our lives better. And I think that's a big deal. Because God wants your life to come to a place of full maturity. He wants you to be everything he created you to be. He wants you to be fully filled by fulfilling what he gave you to do. So, look at your neighbor and just tell him, oh, grow up. Grow up. But if you're some dad's kid and you're here today, don't grow up too fast. How many of you know the kids grow up too fast? Yeah, they do. Yeah. If we live lukewarm, our growth is stunted. If we live lukewarm, we're not becoming fully mature people of God. Not the people that God wants you to be, and not the fulfillment of what he has for your life. The directions found in the scripture and in listening to the voice of the Spirit are not just commands as you must. They are opportunities as you get to, and you get to experience the more of God that way. And God's commands are really good ideas. Really good ideas. If you look at what God's telling you to do and you're thinking to yourself, that's stupid. That is not stupid, but I know where stupid is. When I look at something and God wants me to do that, I'm like, that's stupid. Stupid's right here. Because God can't think of something stupid for you to do. How many times have I said that over the years? That's a one-liner I picked up, and it's just one of my favorites. I try to tell myself that all the time. God can't think of something stupid for you to do. So if you're doing something stupid, it probably wasn't God. The directions that God gives us are just so good for us. Now, as is my habit, I like to give the dads a gift. So I think the dads have all gotten gifts already. If you didn't, see the Greavy Boys. They have a bunch of them under the chair. And as I said, I know we're missing some dads today. I was told by several different people that the way their vacations fell and things like that. So we'll try to save them for the other dads when they show up. But dads, I gave you a cup. And it's one of those canister things that keeps stuff warm. And it says it'll keep it hot up to 8 hours. That's pretty cool. No, wait a minute, that would be hot. Anyway, it says it'll keep things cold up to 18 hours too, I think. But anyway, I just want you dads to when you see that little thing, use it as a reminder. Use it as a reminder that God wants you to keep it hot. Keeping it hot's a big deal. Keeping it hot's important. It'll be more useful for keeping it hot this winter. Maybe you'll find something you can keep cold in it for the summer. God would rather hot or cold. That in-between stuff is just no good. So I just thought it'd be fun for you guys to have that. We spared no expense this year. That is not a Dollar Tree item. I usually get the dad's Dollar Tree things. But so anyway, I want to pray for the dads. So if I can get... If you're a dad, would you stand up? We won't make you come all the way up here because you don't have to do that to get things because I had them delivered to you by hand by a couple of sons of the house. All right. Ladies, if you will, stretch your hands out toward one or two of these dads. Father, thank you. What a great privilege it is to be a father. not for you, but for us. Thank you for blessing us. I think it's probably a joy for you, Father, also. I thank you for these men. I thank you for the joy of getting to be a father, for the blessing that you want to pour on them. I pray that you will just continue to touch them. Any man watching, Lord, who's heard this message today, I pray that we'll all be encouraged, that we'll find ourselves keeping it hot, and we'll just keep on focusing and looking for the more that you have for each of us, because you have more for every one of these men. And so I pray that you will bless them and that you will give them good, good days ahead as they just continue to focus their hearts and their minds on you. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.